Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom, welcome to today's Daf Psachim Pevav. We are on Pei Hei Amud Beis, towards the bottom, actually three lines from the bottom. Hachaloinuiz v'uivya choyma, the Mishnah tells us that the windows or the top surface of the wall around Yerushalayim, kilifnim, is considered like Yerushalayim itself, and it has the same kiddush. Omar Rav, gagin rooftops, whether in Yerushalayim or in the Beis Hamikdash, ve'aliyos, likewise, upper floors, lo niskachu, do not have the same kedusha as ground level. Pertaining to what? Let's see Rashi. Rashi here is seven lines from the bottom of the Amud. Gagin ve'aliyos lo niskachu, says Rashi, bein gage Yerushalayim, whether we're speaking about in Yerushalayim, b'kedushas Yerushalayim. It doesn't have the kedusha of Yerushalayim l'kadoshim kalam. And therefore, kadoshim kalam, like a shlamim, cannot be eaten up on the rooftop in Yerushalayim. So that's one application of this halacha. Number two is, bein gage lishkei sa'azor. Likewise, the rooftops of the rooms of the chambers in the Azara do not have the same kedusha as the Azara, as the floor down below, b'kedushas azorah, the kedushas kachi kachim, pertaining to eating kachi kachim up on the rooftops, they're meant to be eaten in the azorah, and only if you're planted 2 feet on the floor below, you have that kedusha. But if you're up in the area, up on the rooftop, the kedusha does not ascend up there. Again, says the Gemara, Amarav, gagin valiyas leniskachu, rooftops or second floors, we're not niskadesh, whether pertaining to kedushas Yerushalayim or kedushas Hazor. Eini, is that the case that Rav holds that way? Va'amar Rav. Rav himself said, Mishum Rabbi Chiya, Kazeisa Pischa. It was such a large crowd when they ate the Korban Pesach. The Chaburis was so large in number that each person only got barely a kazayis of the Korban Pesach. Kazeisa Pischa. Only kazayis per person, v'halela pake igra, and that hallel that was recited after they ate the Korban Pesach was so thunderous, pake igra, it appeared as though the rooftop beneath them, they were standing on the roof, and the rooftop was the roof was just burst. Apparently, they would eat the Pesach off on the rooftops. My love, should we not assume the achli beigra, they ate up on the roof, v'amri beigra, and they said the Pesach on the rooftop. Apparently, the Gag has Kedusha. Why? No. The Achli Be'ar, they ate down below, on the first floor, V'amr Be'igra. But then they climbed up to the roof to say their halal under the star-studded sky. Says the Gemara, Eini, is that so that you allowed to switch locations? V'atanan, Eim Aftirin Achara Pesach Avikoyman. Eim Aftirin is like Mafter. You're not meant to leave the Suda when it's time to leave after the Pesach, because the Pesach is meant to be the last item. It's meant to be eaten al hasoiva, like a dessert, with dignity, calmness. So after the Pesach, you're not meant to conclude with afikoyman. What does afikoyman mean? We have several pshatim, and Rav learns v'amarav shlo yakru mechabur lechabur. Afikoyman means afiku man, take out your vessels, your utensils. Let's go to the next chabur. Let's go to the other location. Not meant to do that. Not meant to leave your location after eating the Pesach. And the reason is because we're concerned that he might begin the Pesach here and conclude the Pesach elsewhere. And one is not meant to have his Korban Pesach into chaburis, as we're going to see in the Gemara later. At any rate, we see that we're not meant to switch locations. So how can you say they ate the Pesach down below and the halal up above? Like Hashi, says the Gemara, the answer is very simple. Kamishas achila. Yeah, during the Suda itself, don't switch locations. Kanshloi b'shas achila, but halal. It's not part of the shas achila. You're done eating. Halal, you can recite whatever you want. Apparently the Gemara and the Havamina figured that halal is part and parcel of the achilas Pesach ceremony, and therefore this restriction applies there as well. The Maskana is no. It's after the Achila, you're okay. So the Achilles Pesach took place down below and not up on the Gag, and therefore it's not a Kashan Rav. Toshma, let's bring a right. Abashol Eimer, Alias Beis Kodesh HaKadoshim, the upper floor above the Kodesh HaKadoshim in the Beis HaMikdash, Chamura. In a certain way, it was actually more stringent, more Chomer, Mi Beis Kodesh HaKadoshim, than the Kodesh HaKadoshim down below. Why? Shebeis Kodesh HaKadoshim, Kohen Gadol Nichnas Lepam Achas B'Shana. Whereas the Kodesh HaKadoshim was somewhat accessible once a year on Yom Kippur. The Kohen Gadol would go in to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. He went in actually four times on that day. So it was a once a year thing. Valias Beis Kodesh HaKadoshim, but into the upper floor of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, over there, access was even more restricted. They would only enter once in 7 years. Some say it was twice in 7 years. Some say it was once in 50 years. To take a look and see if any repairs needed. So in a way, it was more chomer, more kaddish than the kaddish HaKadoshim down below. In any case, what do we see? That the aliyah, the upper floor, had kedusha. In contrast with Rav, who tells us that aliyah is land that's got you. Omar Rav Yosef Mehechel? Nekom v'nesef inish? Can you go and ask a kasha from the Hechel? That was special and unique. The aliyah above the Hechel in the Kodesh HaKadoshim certainly had a kedusha, but that was an exception. Shani Hechel is different. Vayitin David l'shleimah b'noi. David transmitted, he gave over to his son Shleimah es tavnaso ulam, the specifications of the way the ulam is meant to be built. David knew it, but Shleimah was the one that actually built it. He gave him over the plan, so to speak. Vez Batov, Vez Ganzakov, Ve'ali Yosef, and the upper floors as well. Apparently, they're included in the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash. Ve'chador v'apnimim, Beis HaKaparis, Uksiv, Hakoil b'chav miyad Hashem alay Yiskel. Everything was given over to me from Hashem. Apparently, the Aliyah above the Heichal, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, was also included and had the Kedusha, had prominence and significance like the Beis HaMikdash down below. But that's an exception. The Heichal, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but ordinary Azar did not have that halacha. In line with Rav Shit. Toshma, let's bring another raya. This is a Mishnah in Maaser Sheni. Halishkois habnuyis bekoidesh psuchas l'chol. Suppose you have such a situation. You have a chamber built bekoidesh in the Azar. That's where it's located. But the access is from elsewhere. Upsuchas l'chol, it's open to the Har HaBayis. What is the status? How do you classify this lishka, this room? Do you follow the location? It's built in the Azara. It's classified as Azara. Or do you focus on access? Where is it accessible from? And that determines its status. Here we have a lishka which is in the Azara, but it's open to the Har HaBayis, which has a lower level kedusha than the Azara, of course. What is that? Locha Toichon Chol, the interior is regarded like the Har HaBayis. Access is what determines. The Mishnah continues, V'gagusein Kodesh, and the rooftop of this type of lishka is considered Kodesh, like the Azara. Ah, it's a Kashan Rav. Apparently, a rooftop within the Azara is regarded like the Azara. Tirgum Rav Chizr, Chizr interpreted this as speaking about a unique case, B'shigagisein Shoven L'kaka Azara. We're speaking about a lishka built below ground level. In which case, the rooftop, the gag of this lishka is actually level and equal to the karka azara. It's not an elevated surface, and therefore has kedushas azara. Yochi says the Gemara, if we're speaking about this type of case, below terrain chambers, Amos say, let's proceed to the next part of the mission. What if it's benuyos b'chol upsuchas l'kodesh? They're built in the actual Har HaBayis area, but they're opened and they're accessible L'kodesh, from the Azara. Here as well, we follow the axis. Toichon Kodesh. It has a din of the Azara. V'gagusein Chol. And the rooftops don't have a din of Azara. Rather, they are regarded like the Kedusha of Har HaBayis, which is a lower level Kedusha. Now, V'yisal G'daytach. B'shigagusein Shavin l'karka azara. If we're speaking about lishkais which are built below ground level, and the rooftops are equal to the azara, meaning they're like tunnels. Havila mecheles. Here we have a tunnel. And the halacha is, in contrast to a tunnel built beneath the heichal, which has perhaps kedushas heichal, when it comes to the harabayis, it's not so. There's a kula there. V'amar b'yechlon mecheles l'niskanchu. The tunnels beneath the harabayis did not acquire kedushas harabayis. We know that a certain type of tmeim are meant to be sent away even from the harabayis. The zav, the balkeri, the fellows who have a self-generated tumah, tumah yitzim gufay. Rabbi Yechon tells us that they may find themselves in the tunnels beneath the harabayis, lo niskanchu. So what do we see? That something below ground level doesn't have a kedusha of the area above it. If that's the case, why does the Mishnah tell us that the lishkais, which were built in the harabayis area, below ground level, and open to the azara, have kedushas azara? Well, if tunnels in the harabayis don't have kedusha, so why do these chambers built below ground level in the harabayis, why do they have kedusha? Ah, says the Gemara, it's a big difference. It depends where it's open to. Access determines the status. True, a true harabayis tunnel, which has a din of harabayis, because it's open to the harabayis, that will not have kedushas harabayis. But something which is built within the harabayis ground, but open to the azara, we just mentioned that accessibility determines status. That is regarded like the azara. That's not called mecheles harabayis. Kikam Rabbi Yechanan. When did Rabbi Yechanan say his halacha that tunnels in the harabayis are not considered? That's only with psuchas harabayis when they're open to the harabayis. When you're open to that area, you have the din of that area. Open to harabayis, you are harabayis. A harabayis tunnel is not kadosh. True. Ketanyahi b'psuchas lazara. However, when the mission just told us that a below ground level room is kadosh, that was because it was open to the azara. And we follow the opening. Since it's accessible from the azara, it has a din of the azara. And even a below ground level area, if it's within the azara, or annexed to the azara, it has a kedushas azara. Continues the Gemara. V'atanya, but we have a braisa. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, mecheles mitachas heichal choil. And even the tunnels beneath the heichal, a choil, don't have kedusha. The Gemara figured at this point that they're open to the heichal, and still they don't have kedusha. No, that price is speaking about tunnels which are true built, they're built under the heichal, but they were tunneled out all the way to the harabayis, and they're not open to the azar. Open to harabayis? Oh, they're regarded like harabayis. What is the din of a tunnel under the harabayis? It's not kodesh. Toshma, let's proceed to the next part of that brice that we just mentioned. Rabbi Yehuda spoke about the mecheles underneath the heichal, which are choil. And he proceeds, v'gagoy kodesh, the rooftop of the heichal, right? The tunnel of the heichal, now the rooftop of the heichal, is kodesh. Is the kasha to Rav? Rav who told us that gagin lo niskanchu. Here we say gagoy kodesh. Says Rav Tizba, do you really think this is Akasha? Vokhtani, we have another braisa which says, Gagan halalu, these rooftops within the Azara, and the rooms in the Azara, ein ichlun sham kachay kachem. One may not eat kachay kachem, the chatos, etc., which are meant to be eaten in the Azara. You can't have them up on the roofs. They're not considered. Kedushas Azara. Ve'ein sheichten sham kachem kalm, nor can you be sheichet, kachim kalm, up on the rooftops. They're meant to be nishchat on the azara down below. Here we have a braisa which concurs with Rav Shita. Rooftops don't have kedusha. Velakasha gagay kodesh. But now I have a kasha from the other braisa which said the roof is kodesh. So which way is it? Is a roof kodesh or not? Amar Avchama Bar Gurya. in reality, a rooftop does not have the same kedusha as ground level. When the Braisa said Gagi Kodesh, it was in reference to a very limited aspect of kedusha. It simply meant that it had kedusha with respect to providing storage. It was meant as a storage area for the tools used for the maintenance of the Beis HaMikdash. So that's what the Braisa meant with Gagi Kodesh. It had this kedusha which allowed, which accommodated the kalim, the repairman kalim used in the Beis HaMikdash. But true kedusha to allow achila of kachi kachim, of course, that it doesn't have. Amar Chum Bar Gurya, it was meant to contain the tools of the Beis HaMikdash, for instance, lo isam beis amis. Like we have another example of those amis. An amma here is a reference to a measuring stick, which is an amma in length, six tefachim. And there were actually two yardsticks in the Beis HaMikdash. Actually, those were placed elsewhere, on top of a different entrance. But the Gemara is merely citing as an example that they would store some tools in the Beis HaMikdash, needed for the maintenance of the Beis HaMikdash. And those tools would be placed up on the Heichal, rooftop. And that's what the Kedusha was for. What are these two amis? The Snan Beis Amis Hayubashu Shanabir. There were two of these yardsticks in a place called Shushanabir. Rashi says this was on top of a certain entranceway, Shar Mizrahi. Why was it called Shushanabir? Because it was an engraving of Shushan there. The point was that they should keep in mind where they came from. This was when they came back from Shushan to build a second Beis HaMikdash. This way they would keep humble. In this room, there were two measuring sticks. Achas al-Kerem Mizrachis Tzfainis. One was lying in the Mizrach Safin corner. Va'achas al-Kerem Mizrachis Dremis. The other one lying in the Mizrach Darim corner. Now, how long were these yardsticks? Zush al-Kerem Mizrachis Tzfainis. The one in the Mizrach Safin corner. Hoisi Yisera al-Shalmoshe Chatzi Etzba. It was actually greater, longer than Moshe Rabbeinu's Amostik, which was only six tefachim. Moshe Rabbeinu instituted the Shir Amma. He gave us a stick, which was an Amma long, six tefachim. That was considered the standard Amma. But this one was a bit longer, a half an etzba, a half a finger width longer. We'll see soon why. Vizush al-Kerem Mizrach HaZdraim, the other one sitting in the Mizrach Darim corner, was actually longer than this one. Hoisi Yisera Le Chatzi Etzba. Was actually a half an etzba longer than this one. Nimtzis Yisera Al-Shalmoshe Etzba. Which in turn makes it a full etzba longer than Moshe Rabbeinu's Amma. V'lomahoyu. Achas gedoyle v'achas ketana. What was the purpose of this larger one and the relatively smaller one? Why couldn't they just simply use the standard Amma from Moshe Rabbeinu? The point was to avoid mi'ila. Sheyiyu ha'umnin, so that the workers, the contractors, noitlin b'ketana, would go ahead and accept their contract using the smaller one, meaning the standard six tefach yardstick. They would commit to do work based on that. U'machzirim b'gedoyle, and they would actually perform and return more. They would give based on the larger size. Kedei shelo yavoyu de'me'ila, so that they don't come to me'ila. Perhaps there's something deficient with their job, but this way they would do a bit extra to cover any deficiencies. V'tarti lamli. Now, why did they need two? One which was a half one, half a etzba longer, one which was a full etzba longer. Achas the kasp of the hava. The smaller one of these two were used for the gold and silver jobs, which were expensive and difficult work. So they would only have to give back a half an etzba more than promised. The other one used for building work, which was cheaper, and this way they would allow themselves to be a little bit more generous, use the larger yardstick to avoid mila. So in any case, the rooftops are certainly not Kaddish, but Kedushas Azara. When we speak about Gagi Kaddish, it was only pertaining to this concept that's going to contain and store within it some of the kalim used for the Beis HaMikdash. So now, let's take a look at our Mishnah. The windows, the thickness of the windows, and the top surface of the wall around Yerushalayim, or of the Azara, kilifnim, are regarded as inside. They have the same status and kedusha as the inside. Now, how does this work with Rav, who tells us that elevated surfaces are not considered? Certainly, windows can be found to be okay. The shavi l'karka azara. Sometimes they can actually be equal and higher to the floor of the azara. Rashi says the floor of the azara would go up on an incline, slope upward, and it may very well be that it, at some point it would meet up with the window, and that window would actually be equal in surface and level to the azara. And that's why it's regarded as lifnim, because it's considered the karka azara. What about the top surface, the top thickness of that wall, which is way up in the air? Why is that kaddish? An elevated surface, according to Rav, doesn't have kedusha. Mishkachas lo b'bar shur. It can actually happen that it should be the same level of the azara or of Yerushalayim. B'bar shur. When we speak about the reinforcement wall, the low level, the low height, secondary reinforcement wall, that could sometimes be the same level of the azar. Tichsiv, we find this concept in the pasuk in Eicha. Va'yavel chel v'chayma. Hashem applied avelus to the chel, the large size, the small size wall of v'chayma, and the large size wall around Yerushalayim. Va'amar Rabbi Acha v'teimer b'chanina shura. Chayma is a reference to the standard chayma, the large size, the high wall. U'bar shura. Chel is a reference to the bar shur, the sun, the small-sized wall. Perhaps it's a reinforcement wall. So we have a low wall, which sometimes can be equal in height to the karka azara, and therefore the Mishnah tells us it has a din of the karka, has the same kedusha as the interior of the azara. In summary, we learned about above-terrain surfaces, below-terrain surfaces. What is the halacha? Rav tells us, upper areas, gag and validas, don't have the kedusha of the ground below. The Gemara tells us, we have one exception, which is the upper floor of the Heichal and Kodesh HaKadoshim, due to the fact that they were included in the pasuk to indicate that the kedusha applies there as well. What about below terrain areas? We have a room built underground. Now, if it's in the Harabayis, Rabbi Yechon tells us, Mechelo is leneskachu. They have no Kedusha. Now, what determines location? For instance, if you have a tunnel or a room built in this area, but accessible from the other area, what do we follow? Says the Gemara, accessibility determines. If it's Pesuch to the Azara, it's Kedusha to the Azara. If it's Pesuch to the Harabayis, it has the din of the Harabayis. Continues the Gemara, Shtei Chaburois Shoyoichon Bayis Echad. Suppose two groups were engaged in eating the Karban Pesach. They took the Karban Pesach and split it amongst two groups, which is fine. This Mishnah follows the Shita that you can go ahead and distribute your Karban Pesach, a single carbon, amongst two groups. Shtei Chaburois Shoyoichon Bayis Echad. We have two groups sitting in one room. Bayis generally in the Gemara means a room. It can mean a room or a house, but in this case it means a room. Elu hoifchenes pneim hela helach. These fellows can turn their faces in one direction. Voichlen, and eat a korban pesach. Ve'elu hoifchenes pneim helach voichlen. And likewise, the other fellows can turn around and eat in the other direction. Although they have now formed two groups, they're separated from each other in a different direction, that's okay. Korban pesach can be split amongst two groups. Vamechem be'emtzan, they can have the hot water urn sitting right in the middle of the two groups, even though it's mafsa, that's okay. However, a person cannot go ahead, begin his achilas korban pesach in one area with one group and resume with the other group. He can't do that. The korban pesach can be split and distributed amongst two groups, but whoever establishes himself in one group cannot begin eating in one group and then continue with the other, or begin eating in one house and continue eating in a different house. A person cannot change locations midway. Therefore, says the Mishnah, Kshashamish Eimed Limzik, when the servant gets up to pour a drink for the fellow in the other group, it shouldn't appear that he's joining them. Therefore, what is he meant to do? Koifet his piv. He's meant to close his mouth. Umachzer his ponav. And keep his face turned towards his chabur. Right? He began eating with one chabur. Now he's going to serve the other one. Close your mouth. Keep your face facing your chabur. This way, it's pretty clear that you're not taking part in the other chabur's carbon. Acha magiyah etzal chaburos, until he returns back to his chabur. Vayichel, and resumes eating. Concludes the Mishnah. Va'akalo hefeches esponeh ve'echeles. Akalo perhaps is embarrassed on account of the attention she is garnering. She can go ahead and turn her face around and eat. And Rashi says, although it appears like she's separating herself, that's okay because you can eat your Pesach in two chaburis. Says the Masnisim Mani Rabbi Yehuda. Apparently, our mission is following Rabbi Yehuda, who allows splitting a single Karm Pesach amongst two groups, but still won't allow a person to begin over here and end over there. Masnisim Mani Rabbi Yehuda, the Sanya. Alabatim Asher Yoichlu Oise Behem. Here we have a plural lashon. The Karm Pesach is going to be eaten in Batim. What does this teach us? Melamed Sha Pesach Nechel B'Shtei Chaburis. The same Pesach can be eaten amongst two chaburis. You can take the Pesach and split it. Partially eaten in this house, partially in the other house, partially with this chabur, partially with the other chabur, that's okay. Yochel yeheya oichel. Oichel b'shtei mekomis. Perhaps we should apply the following halacha as well. The oichel. Reuven, who's eating his current Pesach, can switch locations midway. Begin over here and over there. No. Tamad loyma v'bayis echad yoichel. V'bayis echad. He has to eat in one house. And more later will tell us that, although we read it, Yei Ochel, but it's spelled in a way which it could be read Yoichel. Only has one Yud. Yoichel refers to the person, the Gavra, the person. He must remain in one location. The Pesach can be split, but the person must remain in his place. Mikan Amru, based on this halacha, we conclude the following application. Hashamash Ochel Kazayis B'Tzadatanu. Let's say, the shamash, a servant who was engaged in roasting the Karm Pesach, and he began nibbling right by the oven. Now he has a problem because he began his achila over here. He can't switch places in the middle. Ipikeyachu, if he's a wise fellow, memali kreisim meno. He just fills himself up and he's done with his Karm Pesach. He no longer has a concern because he's not going to switch places. He's finished. Vimrotsu bnei chabura, lasi mai toiva. Now, if his fellow chabura members would like to be nice to him, boy nivyoshim betzidei. He'll come over and have the Korban Pesach right beside him. This way, he doesn't have to worry about changing location. Did Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda holds that a Korban Pesach can be split amongst two chaburis. However, an individual must remain in place. You begin your Korban Pesach here, you join this chabura, remain here throughout. Rabbi Shimon Omer, he says just the opposite. A person can begin here and end over there, but the Korban Pesach can only be designated for one chabur. A plural lashon batim that teaches us malamet shal oichel. Oichel b'shtei mekomis. A person can eat in two places. Begin over here and end over there. Yochel yehinechel b'shtei chaburis. Perhaps the Korban Pesach itself can initially be split and allocated to two groups. No, that doesn't work. Tamalim b'bayis echad yeyochel. Yeyochel means the object, the Korban Pesach, the chefza, has to be eaten in one setting, in one house, with one chabur. What's the basis of their machlokes? They're both learning the same psukim. How do they conclude so differently? Rabbi Yehuda Savar Yishem LeMesoyrus. Aim is the mother, meaning the main focus of drasha is on the Mesoyrus. The way the word is spelt. The way the word is spelt. So Mesoyrus here is Yud Aleph Chaf Lamed. We read it Yeyochel, but it's not spelled Yeyochel. Rashi says only has one Yud. So we read it as though we darshan as though it would read Yoichel. The Bais Echad Yoichel. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says this fellow, this Yoichel, he should eat in one house. You can't switch in the middle. Now the other pasuk, which indicated that Pesach can be consumed in many homes. That's with respect to the Pesach. Yeah, that can be distributed. It can be allocated to several groups. But a member of group A cannot join group B. This individual must remain in place. He can't start here and finish his achila in a different location. That should be the shita. The Korban Pesach can be split, but the person can't roam around. Reb Shimon Savar Yesh Emel Mikra. We focus on the way it's read. Ba'is Echad Yeachel. The Cheftza, the object, the Korban Pesach, must be given to be eaten in one home, must be designated for one group, in one location. You can't split the animal to two groups. Now the other pasuk, which references many homes, that's in reference to the person. Now that the Korban Pesach has been designated for one group, what about an individual in that group? Can he go in and roam around, begin eating here, walk around, and go to a different... Yeah, that he can do. So in summary, we have one pasuk where we find a plural, batim, and the other pasuk we find a singular term, a bayis echad, according to Rabbi Yehuda. The Korban Pesach can be split, distributed amongst many groups, many batim, but the oichel must remain in place. Whereas according to Rabbi Shimon, it's the other way around. The Korban Pesach must be allotted to a single group, whereas the person can begin over here and conclude elsewhere. Continues the Gemara, we have some applications for these halachas. Hayu yoishvin, suppose we have a group of people, one chabura, sitting and eating one Korban Pesach, v'nifrasa mechitza b'neim, and a mechitza partition was erected right in the middle of that group. Some were left on one side and others on the other. They've turned into chaburas. What's that halacha? L'divrei ha'omer, Pesach nechal b'shtei chaburos. According to Rabbi Yehuda, that a Pesach can be eaten by two chaburos, oichlan, they continue eating, although they've been turned into two groups. Two groups are fine. L'divrei ha'omer, ain't a Pesach nechal b'shtei chaburos. According to Rabbi Shimon, that a Pesach cannot be given to two chaburos, ain't oichlan. They have to stop eating. They just turn into two groups. Another case, hayu yoishvin, suppose two chaburos were sitting, each one had their own Korban Pesach. They were sitting in a large room on both sides of a mechitza. So you have a large room partitioned with a mechitza, a group on one side eating their Pesach, a group on the other engaged in their Pesach. And the mechitza was taken away midway. What happened now? The mokim underwent a change, a status change. Up until now, we had two small-sized rooms. Now we have one large-sized room. It's a different type of mokim. It's a shini mokim. So what's that locha? According to Rabbi Shimon, that a person may begin over here and end over there. Here as well, they can continue eating, despite the fact that there was a mokim change here. However, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you cannot start in one mokim and conclude in the other mokim. They can no longer eat. Because removal of that mechitza changes the structure, the configuration of that room. It was converted from a small room to a large sized room. That's called a shini mokim. You have to stop eating. Yosef of Kahana kapashit le'mifshit. Rav Kahana was sitting and saying all these halachas as though it's just a simple fact. It was clear to him without any doubts. Amalei Rav Ashi, Rav Kahana. Rav Ashi turned to him and he said, why is it so simple to you? You're stating it as a stated fact. You should be asking it as a question. Silk mechitza, basis mechitza. What is the status of mechitza removal or mechitza erection? Mi hava kibeiz mekaymus? Do we say that removing a mechitza turns it into two mekaymus? Really, is that so? It's considered such a drastic transformation. Ukibeiz chabur is dummy. Or in the case when they put a mechitza between the members of the chabur. Does that really turn them into two chaburis? Does that really have that type of effect? It's just a mechitza here. Oiloi, perhaps not. Being that they're really one group, the fact that there's a mechitza here, that doesn't change matters. Or the fact that there was really no construction done here. The fact is, the chabur is still sitting here. The chabur is there. And there's a mechitza between them. And somebody removed that mechitza. Fact is that nobody actually changed locations. They were sitting here, they're still sitting here. Is that called Shini Makom? That's because the room just got bigger, but the eaters remain in place. So it's not so simple that putting a machitza there creates two chaburos, or removing machitza creates a new makom. Is it or isn't it? Teiku. And according to Ravashi, it's left in a question mark. Continues the Gemara, Kala Efechas is Paneh, the Mishnah describes the Kala who turns around. My timing, why is she turning around? Amar Achabar Abba, Amar Chibar Abba, Amar Yechanan, because she boisha on account of her embarrassment, because she is attracting attention, therefore she would like to turn around. Rav Huna braided on Asan, Ikla Ahiyah, encountered, he visited Lebei Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, the home of Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Amar Lei, so they turned to him, the hosts turned to the new guests, to Rav Huna, and they asked him, Mashimcha, what's your name? Amar Lo, Rav Huna, that's my name. Amrus, they told him, Nesiv Marapuri. They offered him to sit on the bed, which is a derech chashivas, derech kavod, in contrast to the common folk who would sit on benches. Go sit on the bed. Yosef, he accepted the offer, he sat down. Yovli Kasa, they offered him a cup of wine, whatever. Kible, he accepted it, b'chad zimna, immediately, he didn't hesitate. V'shas yevitrei zimni. But when he drank it, he took his time, he did it in two gulps. What else did he do? V'layadarapi. When he drank it, he didn't turn around. He drank it in full public view. Amar Leis, they turned to him. Look, we have some questions to ask you. First of all, my time occurs like Rav Huna. Why did you refer to yourself as Rav Huna? Isn't that a bit haughty sounding? Amar Lehu Bala Shemani. Actually, this is the way I've been called since the days of my youth. So, it's just a way to call me. It doesn't denote chashivas or anything. Number two, they wanted to know, my time ki amruloch nesa apurya yasvis. Why is it that when they told you to sit on that bed, to accept the honor of sitting on a bed, you accepted the honor? Amruloho, very simple. Kol masha yomilocha ba'al ba'is hasei. Chacham told us that a guest is meant to follow the instructions of his host. Chutz mitzei. There's a girs that adds these two words. And there's a whole discussion of whether what these words mean. Some say that say is really a Rosh Hatevis. Tzadik Aleph is Tzad Isser. Listen to your host regarding everything that he tells you to do, but if it's something inappropriate, like it's Tzad Isser, you're not mechuyev to listen to him. The Meiri actually says that these words are not really legitimate words. They were added by late sonim, by jokers. It's not really part of the braisa. There's a braisa in Maseches Derech Eretz. And somebody just penned it in and became part of the girsa. Listened to everything except for leave. In any case, that's why I listened to you. You told me to sit, I sit. My time where they wanted to know why ki yavilach kasa, when they offered you the cup, kiblis b'chadzimna, you accepted immediately without hesitation. You meant to show some hesitation. I'm supposed to grab it right away. Omar Lewis, he said very simple. Masarvan Lakota. Hey, Masarvan Lakota. Actually, my immediate acceptance denotes your high standing in my eyes. The fact that I regard you as chashuv of people. When a katan offers you something, you give him a hard time. Such as by the Malachim, who hesitated when Loit invited them in. But in Masarvan Lagadol, when a Gadol offers you something, you take it immediately. Like the Malachim accepted Avram Avinu's hospitality. So actually, it's a good indicator that I accepted something from you immediately. My time ishtisei betrezimni. Why did you drink it in two gulps? Omar Luzi told him, this is source as well. The Sanya. Hashoyis a kois of asachas. A person drinks down his kois in one shot. How is a gagran? He's a glutton. It's not appropriate. Shnayim derecheret, he does it in two shots. That's appropriate. Shloisha, it takes his time. And three increments. Megase ruach, that's an expression of haughtiness. My time lehad was apach. One more thing they wanted to know: why, when you drank, didn't you turn around? Why were you facing everybody? Omer Lucy told them, why? Why would I do so? Kala ifeches panat nan. Mishnah says that a kala turns around. She's shamed and embarrassed. There's no real reason to be embarrassed. It's perfectly fine to drink. It's a perfectly legitimate function. And therefore, there's no reason to be embarrassed. Continues more with another story. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, Ikla, he visited Lebei, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yossi, Ben Lekunya. Yavu le kasa. They offered him a cup to drink. Kable bechadzimna. He accepted it immediately. Veshasi bechadzimna. And he drank it all at once. Amri le, so they asked him, Le sover lo mar, do you not hold of the halacha? Shoyse, kois vasacha, sari zagagron. You're not aware of the chazal, that one is hashoyse, kois vasacha, he drinks in one shot. Sari zagagron, it's inappropriate. Amr lo, he says, it depends when. Depends on the context. Loi Amri. This wasn't said b'koisach katan regarding this small sized cup that you gave me. You gave me a small cup here. It's not enough for two gulps. B'yeinach matak, or your wine, which is so sweet and delicious. B'kreisi ruchaven, with a large sized stomach like mine, a large appetite. That depends on the situation. In this case, there's nothing wrong with drinking it all at once. Concludes the Gemara with another example of derech eretz. Omer afuna, b'nei chabura. We have a group which are eating lunch together. They hired a waiter to serve them. Suppose lunch begins at 12, ends at 3. The standard time span for lunch. When they begin trickling into the meal, as soon as we have 3 attendees, he has to begin serving. He can't say, well, I'm waiting for everybody to come at once. 3 is a crowd. Begin serving. Now, on the way out, it was common practice to leave individually. They would leave incrementally. They wouldn't just leave all at once. Even if there's just one remaining behind, he has to continue serving him until he's done. It's assumed that this was part of the initial agreement and understanding between them. Amar Rabba, provided that it's within the context of something reasonable. V'hu da'ayil be'idna d'regilu l'meyel. That's only if they came and they stayed within the context of normalcy. The time that people arrive. Meaning, they didn't come too early, in which case they're overburdening him. And likewise, this fellow who's staying behind is not lingering until nighttime. It's within reason. That's number one. Vuhu, number two, Vuhu provided the Ragash Vuhu Daila. They informed the Daila, the servant, that this is their derech. They go out one at a time, and stick around until the last one leaves. Amar Ravina, v'noisnin schar damim. They all pay him his wages. However, v'tzoruch ha'achrayin, loisiv damim. This last one that's keeping him late, has to pay overtime. Elcha doesn't follow the shita, doesn't have to add anything because it's understood that this is part of the initial agreement. Hadron loch ketzatzo. Okay, time for a brief chazorah. We learned about elevated surfaces and below ground surfaces. Rav tells us Gagin and Aliyahs don't have the same Kedusha as the ground below. The Gemara made exception for the Heichal Kodesh HaKadoshim, which has Kedusha. Regarding below level surfaces, if it is a Harabayis tunnel, it has no Kedusha. If it is a Azora tunnel, then it does. How do we determine location? Depends on where we access that area from. If it's accessible from the Azora, has Kedusha Azora. We proceeded with the Mishnah, describing the Achil of the Korban Pesach. We have two shittas. Because we have one pasuk which says, Al habatim asher yoich lo'isa behem, indicating many batim, many locations where the Pesach is eaten. We have another pasuk with bayis echad yoichel, one bayis. Which way is it? Rida says, the Korban Pesach can be split and allocated to two groups. Whereas the person eating has to remain in his location, he can't roam around. Rabbi Shimon says, quite the opposite. The Korban Pesach needs to be designated to one group, but the person eating can roam around from one place to the other. We have two examples of a situation which changes midway, putting up a machitza within a group, removing a machitza, and according to Rav Kahana, that changes the halacha. Putting up that machitza turns them into two groups. Removing the machitza changes the makim and turns it into a different type of flitz. Concluded with the kala, who turns around, and several stories and lessons regarding appropriate behavior in derech eretz. Hatzlacha rabba, all the best.